Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
And the Bottle-O.
For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Day here on this Tuesday. Nice to have your company. And we have a 18 holes of golf for two people and a golf cap, thanks to the wonderful team at the Araluen Golf Course and the WA Golf Foundation, growing the game together. 922-11882 is our talkback number. There's so much news bubbling around. Isaac Quainer is the Round 17 Rising Star, Cricket Australia and Channel 7. In a little bit of a quandary when it comes to the future. Channel 7 only paying a portion of their amount that was due today, a partial payment. 4 years remain on that $450 million deal. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Jofra Archer rules himself out of the Big Bash. Tim Sampson to lead our Western Force for another 2 years. And we will see the Bledisloe Cup played in New Zealand next month, Sunday the 11th of October in Wellington and the 18th of October in Eden Park. We've got a big show coming your way. Heaps of guests. We'll have a chat to Jeff Valentine from the West Perth Football Club. Britt Taylor will join us from Racing and Wagering Western Australia. And we'll get inside the hub of our West Coast fever of Been on Fire. Courtney Bruce, their skipper, to join us tonight. Paul Hazelby's with me. Welcome, Hayes.
Good day, Carl. Yeah, geez, I'm surprised about that Isaac Quainer decision to get the Rising Star. And I know they sometimes look at how many games have been played, but he's played 8 games this year. Lachlan Scholl has only played 7, so one less. He had 24 disposals, 2 goals, 8 score involvements on the weekend. Quainer played last night. He was good, but he only had 17 disposals. I'm at a miss to work out how they actually adjudicate these awards.
Righto, well, maybe a bloke who will know for our hot topic, Polaris Offroad Australia, follow on Instagram today, Fox Footy Senior AFL Reporter, where you can catch every game live on Fox Footy's Channel 504. Tom Morris joins us from the hub over there in Queensland. Tom, welcome.
Hello, Carl. It's weird to be talking to you. I'm in Melbourne, but yeah, right now. I got out of quarantine this morning and enjoying the Gold Coast sun.
All right. Now, we missed a large part of what you said right at the start there because your phone was out of action, but you sound like you're coming through nice and clear now, Tom.
Is it okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
that is good.
Now, mate. Now, you've been able to, I suppose, be rubbing shoulders with a lot of the heavyweights in the competition, and maybe you got your finger on the pulse and a few of the issues that we'd like to talk about tonight, grand final, finals, timing. How's it been in the hub, and what's the interaction been like between other stakeholders in the game?
I just missed the last bit of that. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm so far away that the connection isn't great. I think you were asking about how it was in the hub and what are the key stakeholders saying?
Yeah, and just your connection with them, the interaction that you've been able to have, I suppose, being locked in that hub environment together.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's from a journalist's perspective, the best thing you can have is to get to know other people on a personal level, and I guess and they can see that you're a normal person, hopefully, and you can see that they're normal people. And you know, when you're kicking the footy or kicking the soccer ball around with list managers and CEOs and presidents and Andrew Dillon and Gillon McLachlan, it's actually pretty surreal. But it just shows that the AFL footy industry is full of good people. There are lots of families there. It was a great initiative from the AFL. I'm not just saying that. I mean, they poured so much money and time into 370-odd people going away to a transition hub in Queensland. The regulations were tight. You'd get random calls from the Queensland Health Authorities. You'd have to fill out something every day. And then you'd walk to breakfast and you'd see CEOs and presidents and list managers and recruiters and all mingling amongst each other, and some journalists as well. So it was a fantastic experience personally, and I think the AFL deserves all the credit that they may not be getting, because I mean there's been some naysayers for it, you know, why these people are allowed into Queensland and others aren't, but the regulations that were in place, they were so strict, you just can't fault them.
Tom, what can you tell us about the finals? Because you have been talking to the heavyweights, of course. Information coming out around the Perth and the West Coast Eagles home final, if they do finish in fifth position, a mandatory 7-day quarantine period. Looks like it'll put an end to their hopes of further finals here in the West.
Yeah, that's right. So week one of finals at most for West Coast, if they finish fifth or sixth, which is disappointing for the Eagles. I think the AFL, well, I mean, I haven't spoken to the WA government, but I think the AFL has have been doing everything it can to try to make it as fair as possible for everyone, which is very hard in this sort of climate and these conditions. But probably one small saving grace is there was a feeling a few weeks ago that if, say, a West Coast or, let's say, a Richmond was playing a semi-final or a prelim final against Brisbane, that they would still have to play it in Queensland because that's where they would be. But that's not the case. So the higher-ranked club will be able to pick the venue where they want to be, where they want to play. So you'd imagine if West Coast was a higher-ranked team in any of the first 3 weeks of finals, that they would play away from, let's say, the Gabba if they're playing against Brisbane. So or away from the Adelaide Oval if they're playing against Port Adelaide, which would be unlikely given where the latter situation is. So it's not ideal for the Eagles. I'm sure it's not going to be ideal for other teams as well, but given that Brisbane have spent most of the season at home. But I think the AFL has done a reasonable job making the best of a really awkward situation. I just think that the 7-day quarantine, you know, that makes sense. That's what Mark McGuinness, the Premier, has been really big on. But it would be good if they could find a way, if West Coast win, and if they were going to finish higher, to play the second week of finals. But it doesn't look like it's going to matter too much, given it's more than likely West Coast will finish fifth or sixth at this stage. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but that's what it looks like.
What about the Brownlow Medal? What can you tell us about the format and the time we're about to embark on the awards season?
Yeah, good question. It was originally going to be a hybrid event where you'd have probably 16 clubs being able to go to, and their players being able to go to a function room, socially distant, and then the two clubs that were playing in the grand final on the following Saturday wouldn't go. They would be on Zoom or on Skype, and it would be held on the Sunday night before the grand final, so 6 days out from the grand final. But that's now changed. It looks as if it's going to be an event that is held purely on Zoom and online, which is a shame in some respects, but I think the AFL is just taking no chances whatsoever. So whoever wins this year's Brownlow Medal, we expect it to be Lachie Neal at this stage. It's going to be a really weird event, but I guess it's better having something than nothing. But I think the AFL, more for the optics than anything, doesn't want to be taking any chances with lots of people in the one room.
Now, you've been talking to the list managers. You just mentioned that. We heard today that Cade Simpson, the champion, is departing the Carlton Football Club. There's another champion, and a decision needs to be made on him. He wants answers sooner rather than later. Eddie Betts, he's been so good for a long time. Do you have a feeling about how this might play out in the coming days?
The feeling I have, and this is not rock solid, but the feeling I have is that Carlton would prefer him to retire, but they're trying to do it in the most respectful way possible. I think Cade Simpson, for the last few weeks, speaking to some people today, has been resigned to the fact that this year would be his last, and it's just taken a while to come to terms with that. I think Eddie really wants to play on. I think he feels like he's got another year in him. The stats and probably his lack of influence on many games this year probably flies in the face of that. Also, the fact that Carlton might not have room in their best 22 for him next year. But I just get the feeling they're trying to do this the most delicate way possible. He's a fan favourite. If he is done at the end of the year, I would be surprised if we didn't know before the game on the week, Carlton's game on the weekend. I still think he deserves a farewell game. I still think he'd like a farewell game. But it's a really delicate situation, potentially more delicate than any other older player at any club, given what Eddie Betts has given to the competition and what he's given to Carlton in two separate stints.
Tom Bell Chambers retired today as well. Bombers fans, 136 games, 31. Injured only 7 games this year. But I've got to ask you this, Tom. What's going on at GWS? Aidan Corr's already informed the club he's going. Jeremy Cameron, I'm told, is going to follow this week. He's already checked out. If you have a look at the way he's playing. Zach Williams is
going to commit. You reckon Cameron's going there?
Absolutely, 100%, mate. He is on the caboose following Aidan Corr, I reckon. Zach Williams is yet to commit. Harry Perryman, Jeremy Finlayson, who they dropped a couple of times this year, is also yet to renew his contract at GWS. They've had a paltry end of the season. They dropped their skipper last week, which didn't help them. They still played ordinary footy. He's only 26 years of age. Maybe he should get out now as well.
Well, he's got a $7 million or $6.5 million dollar deal over 7 years. I mean, Tim Canelio's situation is just the cherry on top of a terrible year for the Giants. I think most people expected them to be top two, maybe top four at worst. They're probably not going to play any finals at all. And the three players you missed there as well are the three draftees who were taken in the top 22 picks in 2018, Jackson Hatley, Jai Caldwell, and Xavier O'Halloran. Now, none of those three have re-signed either. So imagine, what are the optics like? if they lose Cameron and or Williams, maybe a Perryman or a Finlayson, and then three draftees, highly rated draftees, from less than 2 years ago. I don't know what's going on there, but they talk about how they've got a great record in retaining players. They clearly have a record in retaining some players, but they've lost a lot of players as well. I mean, don't forget that they lost Dylan Scheel, and one of the draft picks they got for Dylan Scheel was to pick up Jai Caldwell. Now, Caldwell's really highly rated. The Saints like him among other clubs, but he hasn't re-signed yet. Imagine if they lost Caldwell now. Then they can't continue to lose good players, get draft picks, and then lose those draft picks a couple of years later. It's a cycle that just keeps on giving every second or third year, and it's not good for the club. It's not good for them. In many ways, they're a victim of their own concessions. They've had too much talent, and they haven't won that flag. But they somehow need to break this cycle. I don't have an answer, but that's seven players you just mentioned, and eight, including Aiden Corr. I'd be surprised if any more than two or three stayed at the club next year, given what we're hearing now. Once you don't sign by this time of the year, then clubs think they're a real chance to get you.
Something is not right at the GWS Giants, but I want to take you forward to next year. 27 games has been floated for next season. I understand players are being canvassed about this, that if they want full pay, they may need to carry that out next season. How do you feel, and do you think it's any chance that we do go to 27 to make up for the five we missed this season?
My sense is it won't happen. Just speaking to people like high-ranking officials around the quarantine hub, I just think they're set on 22, but it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a footy frenzy in that, you know, where you might have 15 or 20 days of games every night. I know that the AFL hierarchy really like that. There's a bit of a difference if you have crowds there, because the crowds will be low, I would have thought, on a Tuesday night at the MCG, for example. But I think they'd find a way to do it and to have teams playing every night of the week, 15 or 20 days in a row. I don't know how they're going to recoup this money. I mean, how much money do they really want to recoup? This year's been such a disaster financially. Maybe the way to do it is just try to incrementally get it back over a few years rather than one fell swoop. I'd be shocked if the season was any more than 23 rounds and 22 home and away games next year. I know they've canvassed it. I know they're speaking about it, but I think there's been lots of things canvassed and they're working through it now. Certainly the Players Association and the AFL, they've got a really difficult task trying to meet halfway, because at the moment they're quite divided on a number of key issues.
The next big decision for the AFL is the AFLW competition. We know what happened at the back end of their season this year. Players also being canvassed about whether hubs would work. Now, this is difficult because they're all part-time with jobs.
Oh, yeah. I don't see how the AFL, or anyone can ask part-time workers to go away into a hub for 6, 8, 10 weeks, which is how long it would be. So then the next question is, well, if you can't justify asking part-timers to go away into a hub, then does the season go ahead at all, or does it get postponed to the middle of next year? That's something that the AFL is absolutely weighing up. I mean, the girls want to play, clearly, and we want the AFLW to go ahead. But I'm not sure it's worth it if you are asking people to quit their jobs or take unpaid leave from those jobs that they might not get back in an already, you know, delicate marketplace for occupations and work, to go and play footy. To me, it's like asking VFL players or waffle players to go away and do a hub. Now, they'd love to play footy in a hub, but they might have to quit their jobs as school teachers or accountants or tradies during the week, and I'm not sure that's fair on these girls, at least in the short term.
As we let you go, correct me if I'm wrong, but are you out of quarantine today?
Yes, I am. So
yes,
we,
that was the quickest yes ever.
I know. So this morning I woke up and I wore my mask to breakfast, which is what you normally have to do. And then I got to breakfast and I said, no need for a mask, because today is from 12:01 a.m. we're out of quarantine. So got an Uber, got taken to this accommodation on the Gold Coast, and I'm out. And I know you guys in Perth have been very good. Western Australia has been incredibly well behaved, unlike us Victorians. But a lot of my mates in Melbourne and Victoria are very, very jealous, and rightly so. Because being able to walk down the street and sit at a restaurant is a luxury that we haven't had in, it feels like, years, but in fact it's about 2 months. But it's been a very, very long winter in Melbourne.
Well, mate, we're jealous of you, because you'll be able to go to a lot of the finals and the grand final, and we won't be able to. So enjoy it while you can, Tommy. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us off the top, mate.
No worries. Luckily, you'll be able to watch it on Fox Footy as well. So the TV coverage is the second best thing.
Yeah, good on you. Tom Morris here, Fox Footy Senior AFL reporter. You can catch every game on Fox Footy Channel 504. 922-11882. Finals, Brownlow, GWS. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Stephen Cornelio as to whether you as Freo and Dockers fans would like to invest in him and some of the other trade rumours that are bubbling around. Luke Bruce to the Cats, Jordan Dugowie to Essendon, his dad's the manager. Apparently they've sounded him out. What do you think about that? 922-11882. $50 voucher to play golf at the Araluen Golf Course. 18 holes for two people. Thanks to the WA Golf Foundation. Growing the game together. Visit wagf.org.au for more information.
Sports Day for Kia. Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
922-11882 is our number. If you'd like to win yourself 18 holes of golf at Araluen for two people, you can enjoy that on us tonight. We've spoken about GWS with Aidan Corr and Jeremy Cameron expected to follow this week as they end their season, because I can't see GWS playing finals. Even if they win, unfortunately, things just won't fall their way. Stephen Cornelio, Hayes, he's the one that is really interesting. I mean, he's the captain. Maybe it's not for him. Maybe just play and enjoy his life. And I just wonder whether our clubs would be prepared to invest in him to bring him home to WA, given the size of his contract. It might be difficult to pry him away, but what's your thoughts on that scenario?
Oh, he's a great player, but I think two things here is the size of the contract, that unless GWS were willing to pay a fair portion of it, maybe $300,000, we expect that it is around $1 million a season. And then you've got to obviously do a deal with them, because he's not a free agent anymore, and that's why there's so much money thrown at him last year, was because he was a free agent. You could get the player for nothing. You could pay him a lot of money to do that, but I don't think any of our clubs really could afford that right now, and they're certainly not going to give up the draft picks. And look, let's look at the midfield of the West Coast Eagles. Yes, Shuey's getting a little bit older and Jack Redden, so there will be change in time, but at the Fremantle Dockers, I'm pretty happy with the way that their midfield is operating, and I just don't think you want to be paying over $800,000 for a small midfielder that's not totally dominant. And he has been very good, and I've got no doubt he will get back to his very best next year. It just hasn't worked for him this year. Maybe it was complacency with the deal that he got. Maybe it was on the back of his injury last year, but I wouldn't be paying that sort of money and price for Stephen Cornelio. But he'll bounce back up.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? I mean, don't you... Look, I just sort of used the Tex Walker example. I mean, was he really playing any worse than what Tex Walker was? Yet Tex Walker kept on playing for a hell of a long time, and he's still playing in Adelaide. You know, you had Charlie Cameron up in Brisbane who'd kicked four goals in his last seven games. Do you just drop him and get rid of him because of that? You've got Tom Papley who's kicked five goals in his last eight games. He's now been pushed up into the middle of the ground. I mean, did West Coast drop Liam Ryan when he kicked only five goals between rounds 4 and 11?
No, they didn't.
Look, the whole thing just smells, mate. It's stinky. And the whole place seems to have gone stinky. And, you know, you only have to have a look at the performances of a few of the other players. And, look, I know that senior players need to get dropped. But in that last game when Cornelio did get dropped, I'm not so sure that he was actually their worst player in that game. And, you know, I just really do question the environment there. And how does he now approach this week? Does he play this week? I think it's been indicated that he will. But look, it's gotten a little bit ugly at GWS, and I'll be very, very keen to find out who stays in the next week or two, because I think we're going to find out pretty quickly who wants to stay and who wants to go. And don't worry. I mean, if you're in his situation, what do you start to think when you're in the situation that you're in right now?
Are you prepared to say that it's over for the Giants, their dynasty, their expected dynasty that never come to fruition? And when they come into the comp, we're all talking about how many premierships Gold Coast and also the Giants would win. But I guess it shows how important fabric is and culture. And as Tom said, it's been a revolving door for a lot of their players, and you just don't build that camaraderie. And it certainly looks that way with the way that they play. There's a lot of, wouldn't say selfish individuals, but I think they're more worried about themselves getting touches. And I don't know how he can come back in. Like, it's the right call, but what's the message? Because he hasn't gone back and played well and earned his spot in. Maybe they have to make bigger calls on Tim Taranto, who's been just as bad, really, since he's come back in the side, and he had some injury concerns as well. And from what I saw with Cameron, then he should be dropped as well, because his attitude and the way that he defends hasn't been there this year at all. But it's a big call to make on the eve of him becoming a free agent. But if you think he's already gone, maybe they need to make that call. And I do understand they had a big meeting about it, and with Aidan Corr leaving, they basically got in there and said, if you want to leave, get out of our football club. We don't want you here. So you're right. It smells, and I'm not convinced they're going to be able to turn it around. Firstly, I'm not convinced in Leon Cameron's ability to create a game plan that's going to hold up against the very best after what we've seen this year.
I think what they need to do, Hayes, they need someone big to fall out of the boat, mate. And someone big is a Jeremy Cameron, or it's a Stephen Cornelio, because what that enables them to do is then do deals with Zach Williams and do a better deal with Harry Perryman. And, you know, maybe they need to entice Jeremy Finlayson to stay, if you think that he's worthwhile keeping, because right now they've gone with Himmelberg and others playing in the tall key positions in that team. That's right, exactly. So, you know, do they? Well, Riccardi's going to be cheap at least for another year as well, but the other group, I mean, Perryman's been there since 2016, and he's had a breakout year. They certainly don't want to lose him. And would they be a better team with blokes like Devon Smith, who's playing at Essendon, with Dylan Scheel, who's playing at Essendon? I mean, would they be a better team? They would be. But yet those players chose to go carve out a career somewhere else. And we've seen more and more change in more recent times in the AFL, and there's going to be more as well. If you look at what Geelong have got up their sleeve, 3 first-round picks, they're into Luke Bruce at the Cats, they're into Brad Crouch at Adelaide, they're into Jack Viney at Melbourne, and they're into Joe Danaher at Essendon. Now, they want to try and flash out one or two of those blokes, and they just keep on doing it, Geelong, don't they? I mean, they have been able to fill holes. Whilst they've gone back to the draft and they've developed players, they've also been able to pick up some mature age players and bring them into their mix and do really well.
They're the best, and that's why you don't rebuild. They obviously lost Tim Kelly, and everybody thought that was going to hurt them, but they go and get Jack Stephen, and whilst he hasn't set the world on fire, he's played a part, but it's given more midfield time to Menangola, who's been unbelievable, should be All-Australian. Duncan's played inside a little bit more this year, and all of a sudden, they've now got all these draft picks from that deal that they're going to utilise, and then they go after free agents, and they're going after ones that complement what they need to do, and I think it's a great example of what you can do. You don't have to go back and rebuild. You just got to be smart. You've got to get the right guys in at the right time at the right price. And if somebody like Kelly wants out of the ship, you've got to let them go. Not that they had much choice there, but you've got to get as much back for it. I thought they did that at the draft table last year.
Dalhouse, Henderson, Jenkins, and the list goes on if you want to roll in a few others. And one who's been probably producing as good as any just lately is Gary Rowan from Sydney. So there's just an extra list there. 9221822 is the number. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll come back and we'll get into the calls. Pete and Stu, you're first in the queue.
Sports Day for Kia. Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Let's get to the calls. 9221822 and Pete in Rivervale joins us first. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, hello, fellas. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about GWS. Well, I don't think Leon Cameron's the right man. I just don't think he'll lead them to their first premiership. And it might sound a little bit left field, but I think, do you think that Ross Lyon would be a good coach for them? Because he's very defensively minded. And I know with the GWS team, their forwards don't put enough defensive pressure, and the ball gets rebounded quite easily out of their forward line. Is that a bit sort of crazy to suggest Ross Lyon, or what do you guys think?
No, it's not crazy in my mind. I, like you, are a bit unsure about Leon Cameron and how good of a coach he is. No doubt Ross Lyon, I think, particularly this year, would have done a better job. And we can't undersell that last year they did go to a grand final. They didn't obviously dominate the season, though. They came from outside the top four to make that position. But Ross Lyon has a history of coming into clubs that have pretty set lists, and he's put his craft onto them. And he certainly does a good job with, you know, expectations and building culture and getting players to improve across that time. Carl, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think that there's there's always room, I think, for that sort of experience. But when I look across the league right now, I look at Mark Harvey, a bloke who's been involved in the game for a long time at 55. I look at his age. Is age, or does age become a barrier at some point when it comes to coaching? You know, you look at guys that are of the Ross Lyon era that are still plying their craft in the competition now. We've seen John Worsfold just vacate Essendon, or he will be shortly. You look at a Alistair Clarkson, he's under the pump. Ken Hinckley was a bloke that was playing against Ross Lyon. He's still strutting his stuff at Port Adelaide, doing a great job. And Chris Fagan's probably a little bit older. So you've got arguments that can be put both way. Do they need a coach like Ross Lyon to go there as a more mature group? Or are they? I mean, I look at Port Adelaide now. I look at GWS now. And, mate, there's a lot of young blokes that are running around in that football team. So they're... You know, they're not as young as what a lot of people think that they are, given that a lot of the experience have probably already left, and we're expecting that there'll be a few more to fall out of the boat in the next week or two, or I certainly am anyway, in the next week or two. So that's what you've got to look at. But Ross Lyon, given what he's been able to do, has to be in a discussion, but they've just re-signed the bloke, so it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. No, not going to happen,
It's all fantasy, Pete. Stewie in Balcatta. G'day, Stew.
Yeah, good evening, guys. I just want to make an observation about GWS too, if I could.
Go for it.
Yeah, fire away.
Awesome. They just seem to be way too full of themselves. You see in the change rooms after the game, they'd won, you know, they kick a goal or two of the quarters or something, and they just won the games, and they get way too carried away with themselves. They're looking good on the camera, talking each other up. They just need someone to settle them down and say, we haven't done much yet, and, you know, let's do something before we start, you know, getting carried away. They're liking the smell of our own Watsy, you know?
Well, they're all stars. They're all junior stars, aren't they? Because, well, not all of them. There's certainly Matt DeBoer types and Perryman and those players that have gone in there that have added something different. But, you know, it is a tendency sometimes for kids that have had it easy for a period of time that they can get carried away with a little bit of the success that they have had. But how do you turn it around? It's going to be a challenge. You're going to lose some out of the boat. Jeremy Cameron would be a massive loss, you would think, given he has kicked 70-plus goals in a season before. But, yeah, the improvement need to be made, and it's not going to be easy for them to get a quick fix next year, I don't believe.
What do you reckon they should use, Stu? How would you change it?
Mate, I'd get some harder, older guys. They've got Cameron Ward, but other than that, they've not really got anyone that's going to stand up and say, follow me, you know, at certain times in the game.
Shaw and Mumford are probably two blokes that do that. They play, you know, they've played a pretty good brand for a long time.
Yeah, off and on, mate, off and on nowadays. Mumford, you know, he can pull out a good game. But also along those coaching lines, I don't think Leon Cameron's the one to stare him in the eye and to challenge them the way they need to be challenged.
Right, they need a ruckman, don't they? They need a ruckman. They've gone
for
the two
for
older
Jacobs,
ones.
But I think, mate, they made the grand final last year. They got flogged by Richmond. And then, you know, I think they felt, given they made the grand final, and look, we've had a very different world. But they went for Jacobs to back up Mumford. They thought they had two blokes who were seasoned campaigners who could fill that void. And for the most part, they probably have been okay. It's just been around the footy where they have been without Kelly for some weeks. They've only just got Taranto back. They've had some disruption, but have they had any more disruption than a few of the other teams that are fighting their way, you know, into the top eight and doing a pretty good job? Have they been any more affected than Richmond? I think the answer to that question is no, Hayes.
You're correct.
Paul joins us. G'day.
G'day, Hayes. G'day, Cole. A little bit of a slight different angle. I reckon they got an issue around Jeremy Cameron. I reckon he's a kind of an arrogant type of person, and I reckon that's what led to Patton leaving. Because I always used to notice when Patton and that, Jeremy Cameron never acknowledged Patton the whole lot. And I kind of thought, like, I reckon they got the right coach, but I reckon they've got the wrong, their belief around Jeremy Cameron being their number one to get him over the line. I reckon there's an issue there. I reckon there's a cultural problem right there, and I reckon it surrounds Jeremy Cameron. I don't know what you think, but that's what I've thought over the last couple of years.
Well, I can't comment on that because I don't know him as a person. All I can judge it on is him as a player. I will say I reckon at times he goes too high and he tries to get a handball around the back rather than get back closer to goal to be that key target that the team needs at times. But in relation to Jonathan Patton, I don't think they were ever going to keep him because of the salary that he was on. And he was coming off his second knee reconstruction And when the Hawks sort of gave him a home, they were happy to take that. And I think, you know, the Giants, you know, could be paying some of that salary cap. And they're in a position that they had to free up some salary space to make the moves that they wanted.
I think, you know, personally, and I don't know whether you heard off the top, Paul, when we had a chat to Tommy Morris, but I wouldn't be surprised, mate, that once this last round of footy is played, and not expecting GWS to be playing finals, that Jeremy Cameron will be following Aidan Corr. I just feel that from what I'm hearing, that he is going to be a man on the move. And not surprising, too, when you consider how many good players have moved in the competition in more recent times. He's a good player. Doesn't look happy at the moment. I think body language says a lot. It's 6:45. We need to clear a commitment because on the other side, we've got to get to Courtney Bruce, who's in the hub over there in Queensland, the captain of our Fever. Welcome back to Sports Day, Performance of the Day. Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you. I tell you what, it's been performance of the last, it seems like, 3 or 4 weeks now for our West Coast Fever, who have won 5 of their last 6, and the other game, they have levelled up with the top team in the competition, and they were far too good for the New South Wales Swifts. This week, they play the Giants, and we're having a chat to one of their stars for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Courtney Bruce joins us, the Fever captain. Welcome, Skipper. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Are you satisfied with the way you and your team are going at the moment? Been unbelievably good.
Yeah, really, really stoked. Obviously getting the wins on the board and the one draw. Still a little bits that we want to tweak going into the next couple of games and finals. But yeah, pretty happy all around.
It's almost as soon as Stacey got the top job in Australia that the team turned it around. Why is that? Was there any coincidence with that?
No, yeah, I guess it was just it correlated with us drawing a line in the sand and deciding, look, our season's on the line here. What extra do we have to do as individuals and then as a team? And that coincided 2 days later with Stace getting announced. So it's just all worked out really nicely.
I think you all believe you're probably a chance now to represent Australia a little bit closer to that honour. I know you've done it plenty of times before. Janelle Fowler hasn't. She obviously represents Jamaica. But what a star she has been for your club. I think sometimes we just look at the numbers and go, wow, that's Janelle Fowler. But she is going for 3 MVPs on the trot and a new record, 70 goals in a match. She is a special talent.
She is phenomenal. I've literally got no words to describe her other than that, and I'm just extremely grateful that she's on our team and I don't have to burst her every week because she's unstoppable at the moment.
Teague Neild, she's becoming a real two-point specialist. That's helping out your team, and you've got some opportunity to play some youngsters. Sunday, Ari Yang's been getting more court time, and I imagine she's one of your protégés. How's she been tracking?
Yeah, Sunday just reads the ball and the play really, really well. So it's been great to have that mix up between her and Stace out there on the goal defence. But I think it's just more exciting that we're able to get 12 players out there and rotate everyone because it is such a condensed season and we're going to need everyone firing coming into finals.
How are you feeling? Because you did have some injury concerns early in the season. Any problems? And with the next 2 games coming up before finals, any chance of you resting?
Yeah, no, I'm all good now. Just, you know, wanted a little bit of a lighter start to the season. But no, feeling really good. And yeah, just at the moment, just trying to do the best that I can to help the team get over the line. And if that's playing 60 minutes or stopping with Olivia and letting Liv have a crack out there, I'll be doing my best to do play either role.
Now, what about Verity Charles? Is she okay after some girls that were dressed in opposition tunics gave her a bit of hurry curry out in the street? She all right?
Yeah, Vezzy is fine. She's a tough cookie. Nothing really seems to faze her. I guess she just wants to leave the situation and the event at what it was and just move on and play some netty and focus on the Giants game this weekend.
She has been in remarkably good form herself. I mean, she's a veteran of the competition. She's been around the place. She, of course, started her career at the Fever. She went to the dark side for a couple of years but had great success there, played in a couple of grand finals, losing one and then backing up, I think, in 2015 and winning one. And since she's returned home, she's been one of your mainstays. And I think you can see at the moment that she means business and she wants to be part of a championship, hopefully for you guys, for the Fever.
Yeah, definitely. Vezzy took another huge step, I think, this pre-season and then obviously into this season, and she's just just been playing consistent netball. Her attack's been fantastic, and she's just taken, I guess, another step again in her defence, and I just think that makes her such an all-round player out there for us, running that centre and just controlling both ends. So, yeah, I think she's been in phenomenal form, and I know that she wants to win a premiership just as much as the rest of us do.
Courtney, so many international sports have been affected by COVID-19. What about netball from an international perspective? Obviously, you're a big part of the team, and the coach now will take control of that role. What's coming up for you guys?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine at this point. Still waiting to hear and find out, if there'll be an international season or what it will look like. Diamonds are just wanting us to, I guess, focus in on our this SSN season and making sure we're looking after ourselves first and foremost here in this environment, physically and mentally, and then we'll deal with that stuff once it arises.
You got two games to go, the Giants, which I spoke about off the top, and then you finish off your proper season against the Thunderbirds. That's on September 26, and it was announced today by Netball Australia that the Super Netball Grand Final will be played at Nissan Arena there in Brisbane. All finals will be played in southeast Queensland over 3 weeks. The Grand Final date has been set down Sunday the 18th of October at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a start. Do you reckon this hub environment has helped you guys? I mean, you're playing well and you don't have to travel backwards and forwards and you seem to have settled in. Do you think it's helping you?
Oh, gosh, you won't know until next year, will we?
Maybe
I think
not.
In terms of flying and that, we get used to it. Like, it doesn't really bother us. I think just, yeah, it was always going to be the teams that I think got along really well off the court and connected in that sense, and the ones that were just able to find momentum, and we've been able to find that momentum and build with each other. So I think it's just been the luck of the draw this year and all the hard work we've put in.
All right, beautiful. Thank you very much for joining us. Take care, good luck, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Courtney Bruce here on Sports Day. And, gee, I tell you what, the girls are doing a good job. I mean, it's unbelievable how dominant they have been in the last couple of weeks. For Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you. We'll come back and tell you what's coming up after 7. In fact, the quiz, I think, is coming your way. We'll tell you about it after this.
Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Nice to have you company here on Sports Day. Our caller of the day is going to win a 18 holes of golf for two people at Araluen Golf Course, thanks to the WA Golf Foundation. If you'd like to join in, you can 922-1882. For SKG Radiology, our injury report, they care about your welfare now, bulk billing. Of course, the two big scans in at SKG during the week, Toby McLean, Ivan Soldo, both out for the season at the Western Bulldogs and Richmond, respectively, and both been pretty key players to their respective teams at the back end of the season. Easton Wood is listed as a test this week. Revealed in scans for Tom Lynch is a tear in his hamstring, so he will be out for 2 weeks. And some important players for Fremantle, Reece Conker, Griffin Logue and Brent Bewley, who was certainly part of that team for the most part in the early part of the season, hasn't played the last couple of weeks, will all undergo tests on their respective injuries. So hopefully that creates a little bit more competition there at Frio, and maybe they might be ready and raring to go. We know at the West Coast Eagles that Dom Sheed is available for selection, but things still not looking good for Elliot Yeo. Osteitis pubis is likely to restrict him and his progress, so he's not likely to be selected this week. Now, after the break, when we come back, SKG Radiology, by the way, care about your welfare. They're now bulk billing at all Medicare rebatable services during this COVID-19 pandemic, so take advantage of that while you can. Automasters quiz, $150 voucher is up for grabs. If you'd like to play the quiz, Hayes is the quiz master. You can call through now, jump in the queue, and we'll get straight to you after the news coming up next.
Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
If you want to play the Automasters quiz, you've got to pick up the phone and ring right now. Automasters quiz, $150 voucher to give away. Great service guaranteed. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Do you want to give them a teaser, Hayes? Do you want to give them the first question tonight?
Well, there could be one question, could be seven questions. We never know in the quiz. Okay, we'll start with question number one then, Carl. Who won the Round 7 Rising Star? Well, who got nominated for the Round 17 Rising Star announced tonight? We spoke about it off the top of the show.
We did, mate, and let's hope that those that were listening off the top of the show actually know who it is. Otherwise, they're going to have to do a quick Google. What we will do while we're waiting for the calls to come through is just to have a quick chat about some of the other news. SBS exclusive rights on the Tour de France, Hayes. I can't wait for tonight. They will have it until 2030 on the deal that's done today. Oof. Live into Australia across multi-platforms, so that's TV and digital, so all of the platforms available to us. And I tell you what, the race ends on Sunday. It's going to be absolutely sensational to see, barring a crash or a positive COVID-19 test, which I don't wish upon anyone involved in this particular race. But I think that's how you say it. Primoz Roglic and his young challenger, Tadej Pogačar, now they are separated by only 40 seconds. There are six stages that remain. Richie Porte is a couple of minutes behind. Can he get on the podium? That's going to be interesting. They've got two stages of mountains. That's where Port can certainly make some inroads here. But I'm thinking that it's going to be between the two Slovenians. They've got their teams going beautifully. 164 Ks in the mountains today, and then another 170 Ks in the mountains tomorrow night. So stay tuned for that big race.
And Carl, I just didn't catch those names, mate. I didn't catch those names.
So you've got Roglic... okay, and Pogačar.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Yep.
You got me now? They're Slovenians, Hayes. Now, that's the English pronunciation. They probably say it very different in Slovenia. The other big story that's going to develop further, and I know that we've only sort of brushed over it so far tonight, is that Channel 7 making the partial payment for their share of the cricket TV rights fees today. They declare that it would be their last payment of the year. They've got 4 years of a deal, of which they have remaining $450 million. The part payment of the $25 million installment that was made today is believed to constitute a fair reflection. They have asked for an independent review to assess what is a fair amount to pay for the rights because of the reshuffle as a result of COVID-19. There's still another, I think, two lots of $25 million to be paid between now and the end of the year, Hayes. So I think this has got a little bit of time to work out as to what is going to happen here. But it says in the article that I'm looking at that Channel 7 does not intend to pay either of those future $25 million payments between now and the end of the year.
Well, they can't afford it, Carl. That's the simple fact. Things have changed for them, as many media organisations have changed through COVID-19. They want a massive reduction, and I think the best case for them is to hope that they can get out of it, because clearly it's not going to work for them going forward. There's some challenges for cricket coming up. But we've got to get to the Automasters quiz. $150 Automasters voucher up for grabs. Great service guaranteed. Called 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Okay, we've got Tom. How are you, Tom?
Good, Bo. How are you going?
Good, mate. Okay, question number one. Who won the Round 7 Rising Star or got nominated?
Oh, it's from last night's game. It's a Collingwood player.
Yeah, it is a Collingwood player. Starts with Q. Last name starts with Q. We'll give you a bit of a hint.
Q. Quack.
All right, Tom's out. Who is next? Get on the phone right now. 922-11-882. Call in for the Automasters quiz. We could have one question remaining. There could be four. There could be six. You don't know your luck, Carl.
922-11-882 is the number for Perth's most popular quiz. Jofra Archer ruling himself out of the Big Bash was a big blow today, Hayes. I was really hoping that a lot of the international stars would be able to make their way, but it's just too hard, and I'll be really intrigued to see the developments. Like, the girls' game has already been established on the East Coast in a hub. Where are they going to have to end up playing the men's game? Are we going to see some return to normality? I think that is something that is right in, you know, the negotiation that we've just been talking about with Channel 7 and Cricket Australia. 922-11-882, if you want to get the quiz question, answer, $150 voucher to Auto Masters. His first name's Isaac, plays for Collingwood. 922-1882 is the number. Now, I think the interesting news that we got today is with the Bledisloe Cup, the fixtures to be played in New Zealand next month. I think that what that will do is it will pave the way for this new Trans-Tasman Super Rugby competition, which is no doubt going to involve our Western Force, Hayes, because Tim Sampson being appointed for 2 years today, with the recent signings of some very well-credentialed players for Australian rugby and more expected to be announced in the coming days and weeks, I think this is going to be significant and something that we can expect to enjoy, and that is to have the best rugby played back here in Western Australia at some point. Might take a little bit of time, but at some point. Let's go to Pete and Tapping, Hayes.
G'day, Pete.
How are you?
Good, mate. Do you know who received the Rising Star nomination?
I'm going to try to get it right. I think it's Isaac Quinnor.
Quainer. We'll pay it. Isaac Quainer. Well done. Okay, next question. Which former Freo coach was moved into a different position today at Essendon?
Whoa. It's not bloody Lions. Jeez. Essendon. Couldn't tell you. It's not my team.
Okay. He was before Ross, so we'll go to Jeff in Woodvale. How are you going, Jeff?
Yeah, pretty good, guys. Yeah. I can see his face, but I can't remember his bloody name.
Is that right? He was the coach here for a number of seasons.
Yes, I know. For 5 seasons he was coach, and then he got dumped for missing the other guy.
Come on, Jeff. You've got to know his name.
Well, you got to give me a clue. Come on, somewhere.
When you catch the footy, what do we call it?
Oh, yeah, it's Mark Harvey.
That is correct. Well done. And last question. Should the West Coast Eagles play all their stars this weekend? Nat Nui, Kennedy, Darling, and all those players?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely, because you should never flirt with form.
He's right, Carl. They should, because if they win and one of the other teams lose, they could get top four, and I don't think they'll win the premiership without top four. No. So, Jeff, good work, Jeff. You are the winner.
He's off to Auto Masters. All right. Now don't hang up, Jeff. Stay there. We need to get your details to make sure that we can send you into Automasters to enjoy that $150 voucher. Also, we have to give away tonight, and earlier we had some great calls, and Stewie of Balcatta, Stewie is off to Araluen with a mate to play a round of golf to go and have some fun there. So that's all thanks to the WA Golf Foundation, who are growing the game together. So hopefully you can go in there and have a little bit of fun. Now, we are going to turn our attention next back onto the West Australian Football League. They are coming to a close when it comes to their season, and we've got a couple of huge semi-finals coming up this weekend. We had a chat to Earl Spalding last night. Tonight, we will be having a chat to Jeff Valentine from the West Perth Football Club. They did a great job against Subiaco on the weekend. And tomorrow night here on the program, we'll be having a chat to South Fremantle's Todd Curley, Darren Harris from the Claremont Football Club. Those two teams going at it on Sunday after the other match is it's going to be about midway through, but looking forward to having a chat to the boys over the course of the next couple of nights. But Jeff Valentine to join us next.
Below.
Welcome back to Sports Day. One of the news headlines this week, Car Sales We Love Cars, is that West Perth booked themselves a opportunity in the finals, and we'll be interested to see how they go against what will be a very emotional game for the Perth Footy Club. Jeff, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, gentlemen.
Yeah, you'd be happy with the way that your boys finished, particularly in that last game. It was a game which Subiaco had to win, and you put paid to their future.
Yeah, no, it was really pleasing. You know, we were sort of really disappointed with our form against Claremont the week before. And yeah, you're 100% right. You know what Subiaco had to play for, and to sort of beat them in and around the contest early and then sort of really take advantage of that in that third quarter and put the game to bed was really pleasing. So, yeah, good day.
You got them early, and once you did that, how much was about percentage? I've always been fascinated about coaches that, yeah, you want your team to win, but when you can jump up to second spot and you miss second spot by 0.2 of a percent, I'm not sure what that equated to from a margin point of view, but did you discuss it with the boys at three-quarter time?
Nah, we're equated to 1 point. Nah, Hayes, look, if I could go back and have my time again, I probably would be a little bit more explicit, you know, in my messaging about the percentage, but... You know, we hadn't sort of paid any attention to that at all during the week. You know, we were far more concerned with just getting the win, and sort of things were going along sort of quite well at three-quarter time. And, you know, even to the 10-minute mark, we sort of, I think we still led by 46 points at that sort of stage. So, no, look, I perhaps didn't quite get the messaging right, but to Subiaco's credit, you know, they really sort of threw everything at us in the last little bit and really launched off the half-back flank and got the ball going their way. And kicked a couple, but look, it's a point over the course of a season, so we won't get hung up on it too much. It was nonetheless still a really good day.
Yeah, sounds like you haven't thought about it too much there, Jeff. But what about from a coaching perspective? Could you have done anything differently, or would you have done anything differently, putting numbers behind the ball perhaps to eliminate that scoring?
Yeah, no, look, we could. Yeah, could have Hayes. Yeah, look, you know, it was the classic sort of Joondalup up breeze out here, sort of over towards the Glens. I mean, the scoreboard sort of side. So we could have controlled the ball probably a little bit better in our back half and been a little bit more defensive. But we've been taking the game on all day, and that was, our mantra sort of going into it. So, perhaps a little bit of pilot error there from the coach. But, it's all part of the learning curve that we're on.
Love your honesty. Now, the big talk of the town has been about Perth, but your club, I just want to go over your performance this year because it hasn't been easy, tough financially in recent times, and then COVID hit and everyone's talking about your club and will they get through. And to continue to put these performances across the board on the field, it's a remarkable football club in that sense.
Yeah, no, look, we're very pleased with the way it's sort of going. You know, you've got to give a lot of credit to Neil Fong on the board. They've really been able to sort of stabilise things there. You know, Joe McCarthy's been a wonderful addition as the CEO, and Jimmy Tafiri, you know, continues to sort of offer sort of admin support as well in the board. So, yeah, they've really got things going there. They've been able to sort of get some new arrangements with Venues West here at the arena. I think Saturday was the first time in the history of the club, you know, 26 years, that we've actually had sort of full control over all the outlets, you know, liquor and, little food venues and vending machines and all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, off the field, it's going really well. And look, the boys are playing some good footy. The Colts are doing a wonderful job. And, you know, we've been the beneficiary of that this year with a few debutants. I think we've had sort of 7 debutants this year. They're going really well. So, yeah, the list is healthy. The strength and conditioning people are doing a great job. So, yeah, look, from a club point of view, we want the season to keep going a few more weeks, that's for sure.
And your senior players too, mate. Every time I have a look at the stat sheets, the same blokes, Nelson, Black, Rasmus, like they're just continuing to get out there and perform, and that's what you want. And Keitel, mate, he's been very, very productive up forward. And I'll tell you what, this game is really going to be one we're looking forward to because you've got the up-and-comer who has been strutting his stuff down there at the Perth Football Club and young McDonald, and you've got your man up forward in Tyler Keitel, who's also been making his mark up in the forward 50.
Yeah, no, look, it's going to be a great contest for those two big fellas. And yeah, look, Logan McDonald's been really impressive. We played them in the pre-season game, and he was a young fella that rolled out in number 55, and I didn't pay any attention at the start of the game, but by the end of the game, I was certainly sort of finding out who this kid was, and he was an 18-year-old. So, okay, gee, that's a good sort of scratch match, and his form's been stellar when we played him in the regular season. He got another 3 goals against us, so yeah, we'll be putting a bit of time into him. You know, we're making sure we can limit that supply going forward. At the same time, give Tyler every opportunity. But you're right about our leaders. You know, they've had fantastic years. You know, Simon Black, Tyler Keitel and Blake Willem, you know, from the official leadership, but underneath them, you know, Trent Manzoni, Wayne Rasmussen, you know, all of those sort of fellas that continue to play really well. And they've been able to drag a few of the younger fellas along, like Connor West has really stepped his game up. I mean, Tedesco's come back into the team. Ben Delaporte had his sort of best game last week against the Negroni Sandhaver medalist. So, yeah, whilst those old boys are going really strongly, it allows the young fellas, it gives them a little bit of time to find their fleet, and now they're sort of picking up the slack, and I think that's made the real difference in our form as a team.
Aaron Black, he's already got a Sandover medal. How have you assessed his year? Do you think he can get another one? And who are some of the other candidates around the league that he'll be competing against?
Yeah, well, look, you'd have to think he's a big chance. You know, he'd be certainly now top two or three in the best and fairest just with his consistency. You know, we've won 6 of 8 games, so that's going to have to put him right in the mix. Shane Nelson's another, you know, in and around under the umpires and has had a wonderful season in himself. And look, to be honest, Hayes, I don't pay sort of too much attention to the opposition unless we're coming up against them sort of week in, week out, you know. Jackson Ramsey's one who comes to mind. He had a sort of fair game against us and some good form leading in. Jai Bolton torched us a couple of weeks ago. We know how prolific he is in polling votes. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting count. And obviously with only 8 games, I think that the teams have been able to win a few are going to have the upper hand. So I'd expect the winner to come from sort of one of those sort of top 2 or 3 teams, sort of South, ourselves, Claremont, that type of thing.
Before we let you go, any injury concerns or changes that you're thinking about?
No, look, the only sort of change we're looking about, we brought in young Heath Chapman, one of the State 18s or one of our Colts players for the Claremont game, and he was really, really strong and very stiff to go out. Sort of Tyson Moulton came back in and Mark Hamilton came back in for his first game of the year, and that sort of squeezed him out. He responded magnificently by being best on ground in the Colts, so he'll come under strong consideration. But no, it's a healthy list. Yeah, we'll get into it tonight and train well tonight and then have our match committee meeting. But there was 5 changes going into the Subiaco game. So, you know, there certainly won't be that amount. I think hopefully, you know, 1 at tops this week. We'll see how we go.
Good job, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight and good luck for the weekend.
Pleasure, guys. Go well.
Games on Sunday, 1:35 start, ladies and gents. The first semi-final of Provident Financial Oval, which is up there at Joondalup, West Perth's home ground. Hayes?
And the Waffle W Grand Final, Carl, too. Subiaco taking on Peel Thunder, who got over the top of East Fremantle in the prelim, so can't wait for that to happen.
And the other second semi-final, we'll be having a chat to the coaches tomorrow night here on Sports Day. We'll be played down at Freo. That's 2:30 on Sunday. For Car Sales, Australia's number one for cars. We'll come back with more of Sports Day after this. Welcome back to Sports Day, and thanks to Racing and Wagering Western Australia, we're joined by Britt Taylor. Welcome, Britt. Nice to chat.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we jump into the all-new world's first horse racing league, there has been some really mixed results for some West Australian chargers on the East Coast, some big racing on the weekend as we look forward to our spring as we go deeper towards some feature races. But sadly, it was Gatting that broke down on the weekend. There's great stories and there's tragic stories like this.
Yeah, this was really, really sad. I was on track and watching with a number of people at Belmont, and Darren McAuliffe, his Perth trainer, the man who was there when he was born, because Impressive Racing breeds them all, and he had him to Group 1 success in last year's Maccabi Diva. He was inconsolable out the back of the stall, so it just goes to show what these horses mean to the people that have been around them their whole lives. But he has since been on radio throughout the week, and he's been really, really articulate in just describing what a great horse he was, and not just on the track, but his descriptions of him behind the scenes, and the horse they called Cranky. That was his nickname because he was a quirky little bugger, and just beautiful memories that have come through the stable, and my heart just goes out to the entire stable and everyone that had anything to do with him, because it was just a really, really tragic loss.
Well said. He's been an absolute star here in WA and also here in Australia as well. But Bob Peters, he's got some stars, and we saw a very good one get back to its very best form. Arcadia Queen nearly got there, but unfortunately news around showmanship out of the Rupert Clark, and maybe for longer.
Oh, there's the highs and lows, isn't it? You see Arcadia Queen, she's been battling a few foot issues. They were struggling to get her back on track. We see her on Saturday and what she was able to produce shows that she's right back on track. And then you look forward to this week thinking showmanship is the favourite and all things are looking well, and all of a sudden the news coming through that he has a tendon injury that sees him out for the spring carnival. So that's really disappointing, because that horse is a star. And for Bob Peters, it's very much a case of highs and lows. He went over with the whole team, and unfortunately, that's another one that will be coming back home.
The only thing I was unhappy about on the weekend, Brett, was Windstorm running second. I had it one out in the first leg of my quaddie, and all of a sudden my quaddie
disappeared. I don't think you're alone.
No, we were all on it.
I think he was anchored in multis across the country everywhere because he was everyone's best bet on the weekend, Windstorm, but unfortunately wasn't quite able to get there.
No, Travi and my friend, not such my friend. Are we going to get Willie back? Or is Willie just going to stay away forever? I mean, he's been getting a lot of rides and he's been doing really well.
Oh, he's been doing great. And it's been so good to see him carry on piking in the last. We know it so well in WA. It's just become our saving grace when it comes to the final race at Ascot or Belmont. But when he's been able to do that in Metro Victoria, that's been great to see. But he'll be back, there's no doubt about that. He's very much a homeboy. Anyone who knows William, he's very simple, loves his family, loves his life on his farm, and it's just great to see him take that step and commit to the block of time that obviously COVID has forced him to, that there's no flying back and forth just for the Saturday race day. So it's been nice to see him be able to head over there and just sort of base himself there for 3 months or so and make the most of every opportunity that he can get.
He arrived with big wraps in Melbourne, as has Fabergino. Tell us more about this horse and what you expect from this campaign. The Moy Stakes, I think, is the aim, and maybe the Everest. Could this horse be an Everest candidate?
She could well be. She is a flying mare. Her biggest asset is her cruising speed. She can roll to the top, the Liverpool Grey, and she breaks their hearts out in front. The one query that has always been on her throughout her whole career is she just a 1,000-metre horse? And I guess to be able to run an Everest, it's 1,200 metres, and it's high-pressure 1,200 as well. So the one thing with her is that as she's gotten older, she has been able to relax that little bit better, and Tiana Robertson believes she will be able to get 1,200 now that she has that bit of age on her side. But this was a horse that once upon a time couldn't even float from Tiana's property to Ascot without sweating up, and that was just her nature. So to be able to go over east to do that plane trip, it means that she's really, really maturing, and Tiana knows her so, so well. She's a fresh horse. So you need to have her fresh, and I think she'll have her on song.
Now, onto the important stuff, and this is the Racing League. You're the queen of the scene here, and you are leading Western Australia. No pressure, Britt, no pressure whatsoever. Laurie Daly is going to lead New South Wales. Billy Slater is going to lead Queensland. We've got Shane Crawford leading Victoria, and we hate the Victorians. And we've got a real opportunity here, because this is not fantasy, this is real. So I know it was launched at the end of last week, but please explain to our listeners how they can get on your team.
Okay, so basically what the Racing League is as you say, it's a bit like fantasy football in that you're picking the team, so to speak, but this is real. So it's a $200 buy-in, which gives WA a $2 million salary cap to go to the sales. Next year in January, we'll go to the best sales around the country and buy horses. So WA's team will comprise of 6 horses, 4 of those yearlings and 2 of them tried horses that are ready to run and hit the track come March next year. But basically what will happen is the Racing League will buy 24 horses and we will then have a draft night. So that will be a lot of fun for us to, just like the AFL draft, we'll order our top seed and pick our 6 horses that will represent the WA Black Hearts. We'll then have those 6 come over to WA. We'll put them with 6 different trainers, which the owners choose. So there will be polls that people can choose. Okay, this is my favourite horse, this is my favourite trainer, and we'll work together to place them with 6 different trainers. And then we'll be at the races. All the team WA will be able to go along to the races and try, hopefully, we can beat the East Coast.
Now, how are you going with the Racing League? You're a girl that was born into racing. You're riding track work for your dad, Jim, every morning. You're fronting Sky Racing's television coverage. And now you're involved in the Racing League. I suppose when it's in your blood, it's just going to add more to what is already a very busy time for you.
That's right. There are 24 hours in the day. I like to make the most of them with everything that I love. And when you love what you do, it's pretty easy, to be honest.
Now, when the Racing League starts, it's the 1st of March 2021 and includes, or sorry, it concludes an Everest Day, which is 2022. For the $200 which will be spent on the horses, is there any other ongoing fees that people would pay if they want to get involved?
Yep, so as of next year, so beginning in January, there will be a $5 a week subscription fee. So basically that will cover everything for you, from your training fees to the events to Croft's very keen on an end of season trip. I know that. So we'll make sure that surprise, surprise. So we'll make sure there's a good end of season trip. I'm thinking Broom Cup 2021 would be the ideal for the WA Black Hearts, but we'll get that through head office. So I think that will be a lot of fun. But $5 a week, it gives you the involvement of being able to get your family and friends together and be part of something. This is something that racing hasn't really seen before. I think it can be a real game changer, because racing typically, it can be a little bit of an individual sport, or you're with you and your small group of owners, but it's not like the footy where you're a passionate Eagles or Dockers fan, or, you know, you support Australia through and through. Now, this is an opportunity to support WA, so all Western Australians can get on board and follow not just our six horses, but then we'll have the vested interest on seeing what our opposition are doing as well, and tuning into their races across the border and seeing how they're going as well. So to get family and friends together, I just think it's going to be so much fun.
I think you're onto something, and you're onto something last year with your work throughout the Melbourne Cup. Is that happening again this year for you?
Yes, the plan at this stage is that, yes, it will be happening. Obviously, it's very much like everyone. You're just waiting to see what restrictions and everything look like. At this stage, I'll be going, and then we'll have to come home and hotel quarantine. But, yeah, there's obviously just wait and see, and everything's changing week by week. So we'll just see how everything's looking. But at this stage, I'm still hoping to go and be able to be part of Channel 10's coverage.
Great to chat. Thank you very much for your time. Take care, look after yourself, and we'll try and urge as many of our West Australian sporting supporters on this program to get behind you. Thanks, Britt.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Team WA, $200 is what you need to get involved and be part of this, and $20 per month, so $5 every week for each unit that you can buy to be part of the all-new game-changing competition that is going to be involved there. And speaking of game changing, you can do that with the all new Kia Sorento, which has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. We'll be back with James Broadhurst next with our segment from Greyhounds WA. Time now to have a yak to James Broadhurst from Greyhounds WA. Welcome, mate.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're going well. I was away last week. How'd you go? Did we make any money?
We made some money back, not as much as we would have liked, but we got something back in the kitty, which was nice.
Righto, that's our chase for charity, which we'll do at the conclusion of having a chat to James. Mate, Tommy Shelby, been in ripping form.
Oh, certainly has. This dog is absolutely superb, absolutely flying at the moment. Confirmed his status as the best dog in Western Australia when he took out the Spring Gift at Cannington last Saturday night, did it in race record time as well. And now this greyhound heads into another feature race at Cannington again this Saturday. This is a WA Bred Championship. There's two heats engaged there. And look, Tommy, of course, will start favourite in his heat, despite the fact he's jumping out in box eight. So, yeah, he'll be hard to beat once again. There is another heat which looks a bit more even. Yeah, Tommy, this will be his final hit out before he heads, likely to head over to Sydney for the $1 million chase. And look, the way he's racing at the moment, he's in rare air, could be one of the, you know, could really show up some dogs over east, and, you know, we could be looking at the best dog in Australia potentially with Tommy Shelby.
Absolute star and very well named. As you could say, is Flake Manelli a star stayer? Big race coming up for it as well.
Yeah, indeed. Look, been off the scene. This greyhound, unusually at Cannington on Saturday night, goes around in a 520-metre race. As you mentioned, Hayes, as a star stayer, know this dog, or its reputation has been built on winning longer races. I think probably it's scared off the opposition. They can't find a race for it at free-to-all levels. It has to come back in distance on Saturday night. Has won its past seven in a row over the 607-metre journey. But I think she'll do all right over the 5:20. Does boast the time, a personal best time of 29:48, which is very, very quick over this distance. So, yeah, hasn't raced over the 5:20 since December, but yeah, expect the dog to do all right. So I highlighted it just because it's unusual to see this dog going over the sprint journey.
All right, JB, time for your tips. Where are you heading?
Yeah, so we've got the Cannington meeting tomorrow night, so Wednesday night, Cannington. Going for a couple of ones here. Hopefully we're getting a little bit of value out of both of these dogs, certainly for my primary tip of the night. Heading towards race five, the dog jumping out of box one, Bushman's Ace. So this is very much an each-way look for this greyhound. This dog's been going out at big odds as past few starts. Look, he's a pretty strong finisher, and he has managed to finish up there in his last seven starts. His times have been okay as well. So I think he'll go okay here in what is a pretty even race. Not 100% confident of him for a win, but certainly for an each-way look there tomorrow night at Cannington, race five, number one, Bushman's Ace. And another dog we're hoping we get a little bit of a price for goes around in a maiden race, race three, number three, Geared Up. Now, we could be getting teased by this dog, or it could be on the verge of a breakthrough. Hard to know. It's finished runner-up and third over its past four starts, has been beaten by some good dogs, though, and I think it does get a chance in a slightly easier race to get through for the maiden victory. So we hope that's the case, and we hope it's not one of these dogs that just that just teases us along and never actually wins. So
they're
that's,
called bridesmaids, James.
Bridesmaids, that's right. Yeah. Plenty of them will. They'll take your money for sure, bridesmaids. Hopefully the maiden can turn from a bridesmaid into the bride tomorrow night at Cannington. That's race three, number three, Geared Up.
Beautiful. Good on you, James. Thank you very much, mate. We'll have a chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Speak to you then.
So just recapping that, Cannington race five, number one, Bushman's Ace each way, and race three, number three, Geared Up, who is a maiden. Chase for Charity, Hayes, for the wonderful team at Greyhounds WA. We're trying to raise as much money as we can for motor neurone disease. Which way are you going to go this week?
I'm not jumping off, Carl. He's been good to me, the great JB, so I'm going to keep on going. Race five, number one, as he said, Bushman's Ace, 25 win, and race three, number three, Geared Up, 25 win, and they're going to be at big odds. So if we win, it's going to be a very good week.
I'm launching into it straight into tonight, Hayes. Ooh. The late one tonight. Race 10, number 6, 25 each way on Starlight Rhea. I reckon we'll get us the chocolates tonight to kick us off for a good week here for our Chase for Charity, thanks to Greyhounds WA. As I said, racing against motor neurone disease. Let's get all the latest sports betting odds now with David Short. Welcome, Shorty.
Hello, Carl. Hayes, nice to be with you guys.
Yeah, hey, Shorty, before we jump into those betting odds, I've tipped one out tonight for our Chase for Charity, as you probably just heard, with Starlight Rhea, 25 each way, race 10, number 6. But there's something that you like tonight, isn't there? What is it?
Yeah, same box, but the race before, Carl, the Scottish dog, Weston Fergus. He's been on the bagpipes throughout the course of the day, and he's ready to come out running tonight. Looks like the drop in grade's good. Last time he went round in this sort of grade, he was a winner for back in 22.81. So hopefully he can hit the ground running, cross, find the top, and be hard to run down at nice each way odds.
On the bagpipes. I love that. What about the AFL? Who's been on the bagpipes in the AFL? A big round coming up.
Yeah, big round. Let's get into the games for this weekend. North Melbourne, $8. West Coast, $108. St Kilda, $173. Take on the Giants, $210. A really interesting encounter. Essendon, $260. Up against the D's, $1.50. Adelaide, $4.20. Outsiders, not bad for a side that's won three on the bounce. Taking on, though, Richmond, who are at $1.23. Weren't they good against the Cats last week? Brisbane, $120. Take on Carlton, $4.60. The Hawks, $220. For their clash with Gold Coast, $168. Geelong, $1.20. Hot Pots taking on Sydney at $4.60. Frio, $2.65. Outsiders take on the Western Bulldogs, $1.48. And the final game, Collingwood, $2.45. Up against Port Adelaide, $1.55.
What about the premiership market, Shorty? I reckon this is the most even competition that I've seen in decades.
Yeah, and it reflects that certainly when you have a look at it from a betting perspective. Richmond favourites, but at $3.50, so still a decent price if you think they can go all the way. Geelong just drifted out a little after their loss to Richmond last week. They're now at the $4.50. Brisbane at $5. Port Adelaide at $8 into $6.50 over the last week. West Coast $8.50. $15 for Collingwood. $21 for the Doggies at $67 and upwards the rest.
In the rising star, Carl likes Anderson. Noah Anderson from Gold Coast. I've been on Sarong. What are the punters like?
Yeah, well, only a fortnight ago, Sarong was still around that $3 quote. Every time I look at this market, he shortens up again. He's now into $1.42. Anderson's gone the other way. He was $3.50. He's out to $4.50. Rankin's right out the gate to 12, as is King. He's now a $17 chance.
A few nervous punters out there with Lachie Neal, but he got off his charge, which he should have. But the Brownlow market right now?
$1.25, Lachie Neal. He was as short as 120 going into last weekend. So he has just eased out of touch. Travis Boak at $7, Christian Petrarca at $10.
You should see our producer, Rob Beaver. He's so excited about the NBA playoffs. He's got his team, the Clippers. Where are we up to, Shorty?
Yeah, there's a couple of massive games to look forward to tomorrow morning, that is for sure and certain. And the first of them is the Miami-Boston clash, 208 for the Heat, the Celtics at 179. And the Clippers go in as the warm favourites for their clash with Denver, 131-364, the Nuggets. The market to win the title overall. The Lakers now into favouritism at 222. The Clippers at 390, Celtics 485. Miami $5.50 and the Nuggets at $20.
You've also got the waffle markets that'll come up later in the week. Some big games and there'll be plenty of Perth supporters making the trip.
Yeah, bang on. Yeah, nice to see Perth back in the finals this season. And really interesting to see how this does all map out. We've got markets for the first two finals. West Perth $1.58, take on Perth $2.30. South Fremantle $1.58 favourites for their clash with Claremont at $2.30. And the market to win the waffle overall. South Fremantle $1.80. Claremont $2.50. $7.50 for West Perth. And Perth a $12 chance.
We're running hot, Shorty. We might as well keep going between ourselves and not worry about Carl. We'll go to the third one day international. It's the decider.
Yeah, maybe we can call upon Carl's prowess for this third one day. Wasn't it a horrible collapse in the second of these games? Australia at $2.10. England $1.74 faves going into the third and deciding game in that three-match series. Good luck. Go the Aussies. Bounce back, boys.
Don't get him started, Shorty. He was a bit fired up last night.
No, I had an argument with a punter last night, Shorty. So while I've got you on the radio being the cricket connoisseur you are, he was arguing with me that it wasn't our middle order collapse. It was our inability to get them out at the end of the at the end of the English innings.
Please, that's a tally that should well and truly have been run down. Have a look at where, I mean, when we were 2 for 120, I'd absolutely coast. Ah, boys, you've got to get that tally from there.
Yeah. What's that bloke's name, Hayes? Just send him that from Shorty, and that was exactly my response, Shorty. Thank you very much for backing me up. Take care. Nice to have you on the program. How do we get on?
You can drop into any tab agency statewide. Log on to tabtouch.com.au or call 132368. If you are going to have a punt, though, please do it responsibly. Great to be catching up, boys. Watch out for that Scottish dog, Weston Farragut.
We should have him on more often.
That was a pretty poor attempt at an accent there, by sure.
No, I thought it was pretty good. We should have him on more often. Now, I will clear a commitment, Hayes. So will you. And we'll be back to finish off with our Repco Player of the Round and tell you what happened on this day for Baron O'Day. And we finish off with our Repco Player of the Round for car expert service that you can rely on. You visit repcoservice.com, Hayes.
Has to be Tim Kelly. It was one of the best performances from a West Coast Eagles in the history of their club. 30 disposals. He had 9 score involvements, got 4. Kicked a goal, should have had a couple more, missed some easy ones, but under the pump when they needed him most, he delivered and deserves that award.
Yeah, it was very good for expert car servicing you can rely on. Repco authorised service. Find your local centre at repcoservice.com. On this day for Baron O'Day, because little things are everything, on this day in 1988, Ian Healy made his Test cricket debut for Australia against Pakistan in Karachi. On this day in 2000, the Sydney Olympics opened. It was the most watched program on Australian television of all time. 10.5 million viewers in 2000. It was seen live by a crowd of 110,000 and was televised to a worldwide audience of 3.7 billion people. That is astounding. And on this day, Tom Lynch from The Crows celebrates his birthday. Happy birthday, Tommy. For Baron O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Tomorrow night here on Sports Day, Darren Harris and Todd Curley will join us in that all-important semi-final in the WAFL, and we will have a chat to Ed Richards from the Western Bulldogs. Nice to have your company. We'll see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.